the... Nope. Thank the light, everyone. I am Desmond, and this is my hetero life mate.
Fatty the Chef, you nerd. We are your podcast companions, your warder for your painful journey, because you're going to cry watching this show and reading these books, and you're going to need a hug, and we're going to be there for you.
Speaking of crying and needing hugs, we were just talking about, before we hit record, we were just talking about the Adam Project. Wow. Wow. Daddy Issues McNeese right here cried a lot. I cried so much, my six-year-old brought me a stuffed animal because I needed to be comforted. Aww.
So it's so funny, like, you know, little kids or like our dogs, if you get crying or something, they're just like, here's a toy.
They bring you a tennis
this
ball.
This always makes me feel better.
Have you tried it? I mean, have you just
chew on it? I guarantee you're gonna feel better. I mean, that's fair.
Dare you to say that doesn't feel better. So you kept sending texts, and I was like, oh, cool, Aggie, a new character. We get to meet a new character, but I'm not in the know, so.
Oh, you didn't know that Aggie's a Gwyn? You nerd.
Do they ever call her that, is that just a...
Yeah, people will be calling her on that. They say that. That's kind of do it on
right,
Twitter.
Right, but not like, in the book, though. Like, Rand never calls her Aggie.
I don't think so, no.
Yeah.
Hey, Aggie, what's up? No. No, it's everybody. And there was just, like, a little thing on Reddit for Instagram. So I think that the first picture, I think, is new Matt. Obviously, he's in glasses, but he's got the look, kind of curly hair and the little dirt stash. And then I think the other guy could be maybe Gawain, could be Elaine's brother. He's got the right look, kind of curly hair, reddish blonde hair.
Ah, got the look.
I don't know who they are. I just saw them. People are like, hey, could these be characters? But there was no names attached to them. So
that guy is a best boy grip.
That is her actual brother. He has nothing to do with the show. Oh, great. I did see news wise they are doing some filming in Morocco and Marrakesh. Ooh. I'm thinking maybe Aiel Waste's deserty. I don't know. Could be, you know, who knows what kind of like castles they have there that they could, you know, utilize for whatever.
Yeah.
Other than that.
So we're going to kick this off with another sound bite because it's a great jumping off point. It lets Justin kind of give me a glimpse into the future of some of these characters, and he can impart some knowledge on noobs and maybe spark some conversation from the olds, and take it away.
All right. Couple things. Lanfear is coming, like winter. It's like, is over. Lanfear is going to be here soon. I don't see how we get through the second season with her. She is hugely jealous of Rand because she still looks at him as Luz Theron Telamon. And, you know, I'm thinking about the tower. There's lots of distrust in the tower through the next two books. Egwene and Elaine and Nynaeve, they take their test to be accepted, and they start getting kind of put on, like, bloodhounding, like the Black Aja. There's some shit that happens in the tower, and they take off. So there's 13 sisters that take off with items of power. 13's an important number, and you'll find out in this clip why. But you'll just, you know, I think if they're, I just, you know, you're going to see how fragmented the tower is with all of its politics. They've really already started to lead into it with the way they treated Moraine and the kind of like fake exile. And you're seeing there's lots of division in the tower already, and it's going to get much worse. They have like an exodus of sisters that are Black Aja. And this is, I believe, right after they've taken off, and they come and get Egwene right after she's seen Varen, and Varen hands her a stack of information about the Black Aja sisters who left. And they're like, come on, you got to come take your test now. And so she's got to go to this room full of sisters. She doesn't know if any of them could also be Black Aja. She has to leave this stack of information there and walk into a Turangriel that is it's kind of like how you see Rand's vision in the dream world when he's with Egwene at the end of season one. It's the same vision, but it's Egwene walks through these, and it's for your past, your kind of like your present and your future. What could be, what will be, and what is, you know, it's just like three possibilities.
And these are big enough to walk through?
Yeah, they're three large arches, like silvery arches.
Holy shit.
And there is a few of these. There is another one that is in the Aiel Waste that's like columns that you walk through. There are these columns in this city, and that's where the Aiel Wise Ones go to become Wise Ones. So it's a similar process to what they go through in the tower, but it allows you to kind of see past, present, and future. But the one in the Aiel Waste shows you the past, present, and future of your actual ancestors. And some of the Aiel can't handle what their ancestors used to be. And then if you go through a second time, you see what the Aiel will become. And that's what I was telling you. They have things that basically seem like guns in the future after the last battle.
So like, if you just keep walking through it, do you just keep adding on to your vision? And most people can't?
I'm not sure. Most people only go through once. And a lot of people who go through the second time don't come back. So
there's that.
So anyways, Egwene, you know, Egwene just got like, hey, you know, you're going to be my Black Aja Hunter.
Book, what's the book?
It is The Dragon Reborn, Chapter 22. And this is just, you know, this is a little test of like kind of, you know, it's Egwene in her testing, but it gives you a little bit more foreshadowing and you get to see kind of a similar scene.
And we're going to, I don't know if we mentioned it in the last episode or this episode. Justin's going to cut it off before it gets to the real spoilery part.
Yeah, for sure. All right, ready?
Yeah.
All right, so she's being led into the bowels of the tower to go to where this Terangreal is.
Not even Nynaeve. And Egwene was grateful for that. She did not want to think about what it might mean. That is plain stupid foolish, she told herself. Nynaeve was teaching her the herbs, teaching Egwene.
She's already walked through the arch, by the way.
Nynaeve's cures offered in near miraculous fashions, healed with barely a scar, sick folk brought back from the edge of the grave. But three times now, Egwene had cured someone Nynaeve had given up for dead. I must have done something. Once might be chance, but three times, I have to figure it out. I have to learn. Let me try, Rand, she said. And as she stood through the open door, she saw a silver arch standing in front of the house, an arch filled with white light. The way back will come but once. Be steadfast. Of course this was what she wanted, and she had it. What is it you want, Egwene? Rand asked. If it's anything I can get, you know I will. If I can't get it, I'll make it. The way back will come but once. Be steadfast. She took another step into the doorway.
That's like, be steadfast, because if you stay too long, the doorway disappears. You're stuck there.
Something she wanted more than anything else in the world. Something she had to do. Had to. She took a step. It was hard. Harder than anything she'd ever done in her life. Outside, toward the arch. Behind her, Joya was laughing. She stiffened her back and kept walking, but she could not keep the tears from rolling down her cheeks. She stepped into the light and was consumed. Trembling and sobbing, Egwene stepped out of the arch.
So that's just her first test, and she kind of knows Rand's secret, even though Rand doesn't really know. This is like a different world where he's not the dragon. He still channels. She knows that she can channel. Moraine never came. She's like, well, I know there have been three times when even Nynaeve had given people up for death, and I healed them. So I think, you know, Egwene healing Nynaeve, even though Nynaeve is the one who's definitely the healer, and in Egwene's, she can heal, but that's definitely not like her talent. You know, I think that, you know, if she had stayed in with Nynaeve, she would have only learned how to heal and nothing else. And like, that's heartbreaking. And she's like, I could help him, but I can't. And she walks through the arch, and it's like, if you think that one makes the hair on the back of my neck stand up and my eyes are a little sandy, her second test.
Oh.
Arch, the same by which she had entered, memory cascading with Shiriam's face confronting cold, clear water washed away her tears.
Number
as Anaida
13.
Slowly emptied Number a silver 13. Chalice over her head. You are washed clean of what crime you may have committed and of those committed against you. You come to us washed clean and pure in heart and soul. Light, Egwene thought as the water ran down her body. Let it be so. Can water wash away what I did? Her name was Joya, she told Shiriam between sobs. Joya, nothing can be worth what I just... what I... There is a price to become Aes Sedai, Shiriam replied, but the sympathy was back in her eyes, stronger than before. Was it real? Did I dream it? Did I leave him to die? Did I leave my baby? Shiryam put an arm around her shoulders, began guiding her around the circle of arches. Every woman I have ever watched come out of there has asked that question. The answer is no one knows. It has been speculated that perhaps some of those who do not come back chose to stay because they found a happier place and lived out their lives there. And they stayed from choice. Then I hope the lives they live are far from happy. I have no sympathy for any who run from their responsibilities. The edge on her tone softened slightly. She stepped into the glow. Her head came up and she took in the ruins of a great palace around her. The royal palace of Andor in Camelin. The world was not the way she wanted it. No way that she could think of without wanting to cry. But all her tears had been cried away long ago, and the world was as it was. Ruin was what she expected to see. As far as she could see, in every direction lay ruin and desolation. Hunt. Its voice sounded like something long dead crumbling. Do not stand there shivering. Find him. Egwene slipped back down the pile of jumbled stones as silently as she could. The way back will come but once. Be steadfast. Forcing her way through a narrow gap where part of the ceiling had fallen, she found herself in a room half buried
under rough.
What had stood above it. Rand lay with a heavy beam pinning him across the waist. He opened his eyes when she came near him. You came back. He forced the words out in a hoarse rasp. I was afraid. No matter. You have to help me. She sank wearily to the floor. I could lift that beam easily with air, but as soon as it moves, everything else will come down on top of you, on top of both of us. I cannot manage all of it, Rand. Fresh sweat glistened on his face, and he spoke with an effort. I could shift the beam myself. You know that. I could shift that and the stones above, all of them. But I have to let go of myself to do it, and I can't trust that. I do not understand, she said slowly. Let go of yourself? What can't you trust? The way back will come but once. Be steadfast. If I let go, even a little, even for an instant, the madness will have me.
No, you won't.
His hand flopped out, fell just short of a dagger lying in the dust, bare-bladed. The dagger, he whispered. His hand made a painful journey back to his chest. Here, in the heart, kill me. No, Rand, I will not. I cannot. Tell me why, she demanded.
Because he's the fucking dragon.
To murder you. I will do anything to get you out of there, but I cannot kill you. I won't know what they are doing till it is too late. If there is even a spark of life left when they find me, they can still do it. Please, Egwene, for the love of the light, kill me. I can't, Rand. Light, help me. I cannot. She stood and took a step toward the arch. It was right there in front of her. One more step and... Please, Egwene, help me. I can't reach it. For the love of the light, Egwene, help me. I cannot kill you, she whispered. I can't. Forgive me, she stepped forward. Help me, Egwene! Light burned her to ash.
Holy shit.
Ready to cry, dude?
Oh.
Thus the cost of the shawl. And the thing about it is that even though she knows, like, if she feels like it's real, she knows that it's not real, where she doesn't try to just kill him and then leave. She just goes. Like, she's like, I just gotta go.
Oh, just get through this to reality and then maybe go save.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which is funny because, you know, her attitude towards Rand changes a lot by the end.
Yeah. Because that's her present. And so she now knows that Rand is suffering. Now.
Yeah, and the thing about that is what he says is that they can turn me is that, and this becomes a thing later in the books, is that if you have 13 channelers, and I think that means that you have to have at least one male, because I think that, man, maybe you can do it with 13 females, but you channel, like, they do something, they channel through a Eyeless to basically turn them to the shadow against their will. And anybody can be, it's like your weakness, because you can channel, you can be, it's like they like give you a lobotomy.
Oh.
And so you're yourself, but you're not yourself. And you're just like, it's cool, man. It's the great Lord, bro. We'll be on the same team. It's like, they're not, you know, they're there, but they're not, they're just like a husk of themselves. They're not.
you're a weapon at that point.
Kind of. You're more of a robot. I don't even know how to explain it. It's like, and the harder you live in the light, the harder it is to turn you. So, you know, it can take days, but eventually they'll wear you down and they'll be like, no, I'm not going to channel. They'll wear you down until you fucking just are like, ah, and then boom.
Then they harness your power once you use it.
And they flip it on you and make you like basically bond you to the dark one against your will.
Oh.
It's intense. I think that's why that one makes me almost cry every time I hear it now, because it's like you hear some people that you like get turned.
Oh.
And so you see them before and after, and you see some of the people like how they act, and it's just like, you know, I have to kill my friend because he's not my friend anymore.
This show is going to break me.
Dude, it's going to, if they do it right, it's going to be great. It's not going to be what the show, you know, what the book is, but I think it's just going to be one of those things that it's kind of like a, more than a companion, like a fucking walk alongside of it, you know, and it's just like.
Well, and it's just going to be like, I think regardless of how they do it, I think, you know, unless they really fuck it up, like. The point of the story is it's like a heightened reality, you know, like when you first start watching, like, oh, it's fantasy, blah, blah, blah. But then you get to start to know them. And it's like, well, this is a metaphor for that. And this is a metaphor for that.
It's really well written. And as long as he takes from the source material in the right way, it's going to be great. Already, like the multi layers of the first season, every time I watch the show, Lisa and I finally watched all the way through it. She pointed a couple things out. It's like, you know what? I didn't even think twice about that. I didn't look at that. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I'm, you know, like, that's so cool that you caught that. And it was just like, and as a person who didn't read the books, someone that's like, that's very important. They slipped that in there. I fucking missed it four times. You know, it's like, that's great.
I got to figure out, I think Kelly's afraid to watch it with me. I think because of all the podcasting, I think she's like, there's no way that he's going to be able to just sit and watch this with me. Like, I think she's afraid that I'm just like going to talk. And this is what,
dude,
and
that's this how is Lisa what, was at first. She's like, I can't watch it if you start trying to explain every time this guy talks. Oh, this, just fucking shut up. Let me watch it. If I have a question, answer that question, yeah, and stop.
Yeah.
And I'm totally like, okay. So after I watched it by myself four times, I think I was able to watch it with her, and I was kind of doing research at the same time, so I would shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
But I think, yeah, dude, it's like, if she's worried about it, I tell her, like, hey, his fucking dumb ass can shut up through it. I can, you know, I'll chew some gum. I'll go Pete Carroll and just chew gum for 4 hours.
I'll write shit that I want to ask Fatty next time we record.
Well, or, you know, like, dude, like I said, some of the things, like, she asked one question and that sends me down a tangent. I'm just like, oh, wow. And, you know, just so, like, you know, so that's like right in the middle of, like, you know, they get sent falsely to hunt the Black Aja by a certain stone jawed jerk off that I can't stand with braids, no names mentioned, and kind of get like sold to the Shan Chan, and like Egwene gets captured, other people escape, but they end up back at the tower. But then they kind of get, because they're one of the few people that know that that person and the people who left with her are Black Aja, they kind of set Egwene and Nynaeve and Elaine, because they trust Elaine, they bring Elaine in, even though the Emerilrin Sea is like, you can't trust anybody. It's only you two. I only trust you two and Moraine. That's it. And even, I don't even think she says Moraine to them. They're just like, so, but they're like, we got to bring Elaine in on this. We need a third person who's strong that we trust, like as like our, you know, our person who's like, we got to be able to bounce ideas off somebody that we trust. We don't trust the Emerilrin Sea. And if we have her as like a shadow, you know, she can watch our back and, you know, be making sure we don't get double crossed. And that's where all this distrust in the tower starts, because it's like 13 Aes Sedai leave and they're Black Aja. One of the things that Elaine figures out, she's like, there's no two that are the same age. There's no two that are from the same place. There's no two that are, you know, they're so random that they had to have planned it to be that random. They had people to choose from. So there's more people still in the tower that are Black Aja. It's not like there were 13 rogue Aes Sedai and that's all there was. And then it's like, oh, fuck. And then so the distrust in the tower, you have all these, you start having these factions and you don't know who's who.
What? is the Black Aja's speciality again?
Murder. Lies, deceit, torture.
Just wow.
Yeah, no, they're just, you know, just they're basically, they want to be the new Forsaken. They want to be the new Dreadlords. They want power. And, you know, they're relatively weak in the power compared to the Forsaken, for sure.
Is there three? Are there three Black Ajahs when we see them in the tower in the show? Or are they not part of the regular posse?
Oh, no, no. Black Aja, this is a dirty little secret. They don't exist.
Oh, okay.
We don't talk about them.
Okay, so they're the eighth fucking spoke then.
Right, but nobody talks about it. Or they're the center spoke, the dark one, whatever, however you want to say it. But it's like, supposedly, it's like, if you even bring them up, it's like, oh, just how dare you? But that's kind of, and it's like, they're like sleeper cells. They're like terrorist cells. No, you know, you only know one or two people who are Black Aja, even though there's fucking 30 of them. And you realize there's nearly as many Black Aja, whether it's by choice or compulsion or being manipulated, as there is people, like, I just call them Warriors of the Light, good guys.
So they're basically people who are most of them turned
by choice. They choose to not against their will.
Not necessarily that, but like, did they train at the tower and then decide, fuck you bitches, I'm going black? Or
some of them you get stories from, some of them you don't really. So I can't think of any off the top of my head. It was like, when I decided to be Black Aja, someone talks about one of their first tricks that they learned with the power was how
she's a Black Aja in disguise.
No, she's barely in disguise. She's definitely black.
are there other, without spoiling too much, are there other Black Ajas who have tricked people into thinking they're green or yellow or blue?
Oh yeah, all of them. Okay, all of them. I just told you that scene we just listened to. There's at least two sisters who have taken her into that test that are Black Aja, it is confirmed later.
Okay.
Maybe more. I'd have to re-listen to the whole scene.
You explained it just fine. My brain's just catching up.
Think spies, dude. Yeah. Think spies for the Dark One in the tower.
Okay.
And I believe there's a Forsaken in the tower in disguise right now. If there's not, there should be one shortly.
While we're on the subject of bad people, what's a Murdral?
So, okay, a Murdral is, the way they describe it is the throwback offspring between, I think, I can't tell if it's Trollocs and Human or Trollocs and Trollocs. I think if Trollocs and Trollocs do it, then they have Murdrals. Or when they're making Trollocs, like every, you know, 50th one comes out Murdral. I haven't figured that out yet.
Did we see a Murdral in the show? Are they the ones with the fire eyes?
No, those are the Eyeless. They're the ones that control the Eyeless. They're the Fades.
Fade. They're the Fade. A Murdral is a Fade.
They just don't call them Murdrals in the show because I think it's too hard to...
Okay. Because that's another thing, like listening to the book is like, like at one point I'm like, oh, a Murdral is a Fade. And then like later on I keep hearing it. Well, because
at a certain point, your knowledge is going to, you know, at certain times your knowledge is going to be a hindrance because you're going to be like, wait. Was that guy? Or is it like, nope, it's just every one of those things.
I mean, honestly, for a minute, I thought they were the bats that they were throwing up for a minute. Because they kept talking about Murdrals following them like they were in the fucking sky.
No, those are Drakkars.
There we go. That's what, okay, I knew that. But talking about it, I got confused.
Excuse me.
As in Drakkar Noor?
Yes, that's exactly how you pronounce it. Yeah. Dude, I listen to this podcast, this true crime, and they're younger. They're like, Drakkar? Draker Noir? And me and Lisa are just like, Drakkar Noir, you fucking losers? Every eighth grade dance you've ever been to smells disgustingly of it. Anyway, okay, so Madral. Trollocs do not always breed true. Instead, they sometimes produce. So it is they are spawn of Trollocs then.
Not of Trollocs, they are spawned like Trollocs.
No, Trollocs don't. Oh, okay, well, I guess you could take that. Okay. I was taking it as when they fuck, they don't breed true. They shoot out my draws.
Oh, okay, okay. You might, yeah, start over again. I think you might be right.
Because, okay, Trollocs do not always breed true. Instead, they sometimes produce throwbacks to either the animal or the human side of their genetics.
So mostly Trollocs fuck and more Trollocs come out?
The throwback, okay. It is. Okay, when Trollocs do sexuals, the throwbacks to the animal half die, but the throwbacks to the human side usually survive and are corrupted and are known as Madral, Halfmen, Shadowmen, Lurks, Fetches, Fades, Neverborn. They resemble men much more closely than they do their Trolloc parents, and they have a much higher level of intelligence.
But sometimes Trollocs fuck and get just another Trolloc?
I guess so.
Or do you always get one or the other? Do you always get a dead animal or a Murdral?
It doesn't say.
Ugh.
Oh, well, it says they don't always breed true. And so I would assume that sometimes they must breed true, which means more Trollocs.
Oh.
Gross. I thought they were like a magical creation. Didn't know they like mated.
Can you imagine a pregnant Trolloc just...
Just, I'm hungry. Nard, get me some fucking human steaks.
I used to think that the grossest thing I ever saw was watching the Lord of the Rings, when you see their version of Trollocs like being born out of cocoons.
Yeah, out of the little sloppy earth.
I used to think that was the grossest thing I'd ever seen, but imagining two Trollocs fucking.
two Trollocs fucking and then a Trolloc giving birth. Nope. Never want to say, hey, Rafe, if you're listening.
No.
Nope.
I'm good.
Uh-uh. No.
Uh-uh.
Nah.
Don't need to know. You know what? I would rather see them being birthed like orcs in Lord of the Rings. Let's just change it. Change the lore.
Be the one time.
Yeah. Orcs get like, which one is that? Lisa's like, did you have to see orcs? Yeah. The super orcs come out of this like gray brown drapes in the earth. I don't even know.
Desmond's face. It's like a frozen turkey being pushed through gray drapes.
he just stuck on it.
Sometimes science is wrong.
I fucking spit whiskey all over the mic.
Oh my god.
So Lisa said, where's my kid? I'm going back upstairs. Y'all are crazy.
You can have him back soon.
We had a dog that was gray for a while. It was a fucking that pit bull rescue, and she was gray. I was like, should we name her Gray Wynn? Like, you know, like Rob Stark's wolf, you know? She's like, why? Does she smell like old farts? No, we're naming the dog fucking Gray Wynn. Get the fuck out of here. That's a dumb name.
Oh my god.
Why don't we name her Gray Drapes?
I have a new favorite dog at the dog park. His name is Tofu. And when he's coming, it's like a I call it an optical illusion. When he's coming right at you, he's all gray, just beautiful. He looks like a pit bull. And then he goes sideways and he's all dachshund. It's so fucking weird. And I love it so much.
Dude, our landlord's little dog, we kind of named him because she drinks Tito's vodka.
Yeah.
And he's a dachshund. He's like a Chiweenie, but he's tiny. And so we just started calling him Little Tito. So she named him Little Tito. And he looks kind of like a miniature version of a Rottweiler with floppy ears and short little legs. Like his coloration.
Yeah.
And he's just really little and stout, but he's kind of, but then like you said, you get the side version and he's long.
Yeah.
Like not super long, yeah. But just a little too long. You're like, what's up, buddy? And he's like 5.5 pounds. Winston's like got his whole head in his mouth. And I'm like, oh, this is so stressful.
Shout out.
Winston's super gentle, though.
Shout out to Pups of Time. Love. Great, great follow on Twitter. If you love your doggies, check out Pups of Time.
Pets of Time, too.
It is just Pets of Time. You're right. It's not
Winston
Pups.
And Thor has been on there a couple times. They're always like, can I use your dog? I'm like, yes, yes, please. Winston is a gentleman in his bow tie.
Oh, what a cutie pie.
But yeah, no, so that's just a little kind of, that's just a little, like I said, you know, she's, just to imagine the amount of pressure that she's under. And, you know, like Nynaeve is kind of, I don't think she's there. I think her and Elaine are like up in their rooms just waiting. And they've been set to just scrubbing pots because Leandrin in the second book tricks them into leaving to, I think she tells them they're going to go hunt the Black Aja. And then they end up back in the tower and they get in trouble for running away from the tower. which is bullshit because it's not their fault, but it's like the cover story because supposedly the whole tower doesn't know that there's Black Aja. But I'm curious how fast they're going to run into these things as far as the division in the tower. I'm wondering how long they're going to wait for Rand to start recruiting men. I actually hope that comes quick because it's fucking pretty cool. Once they learn to travel, they start traveling around, going to these villages and goes, find me every boy within, or every man within 9 and 25 that it wants to be tested to see if they can channel to come fight for the Dragon Reborn. And it's like, they get, next thing you know, they have hundreds of men who can channel. But then all that shit that I was talking about, turning people, goes down at the Black Tower.
Yeah.
Bad, dude. It's bad. I hope I'm getting you hyped for the books, because the books.
Dude, the books are so, I've been.
The show will be a cherry on top of the books, and that's what I hope. It's like, it's just,
yeah.
It's, I've already accepted it's not going to be a fucking direct comparison. I'm going to get some shit that's straight across that I love. I'm going to get some shit that's interpretive that I may not love, but it's going to be the cherry on the top of something that I already fucking have a cum sandwich for. And I don't give a fuck. I just give me all the ice cream. And then the show is just a cherry. Like, it would have to be really bad for it to be bad. Yeah. And it's really good. And the layering that they're doing into it makes me really excited.
Whatever. Yeah, different is not bad. Just don't make it bad, bad.
Yeah, and I mean, so far, but there's a lot of questions. I mean, the seal thing, when Rand breaks that seal that they're standing on, it's a life, it's huge. Well, in this, there's the seals are you can keep them in a belt pouch.
Oh.
And they travel around. Like, there's a guy, Bale Doman, you'll get to see him pretty soon. He's got one of the seals in his ship. Doesn't really know what it is. Just got one.
Got one of these.
Moraine got one, ends up finding one at the Eye of the World that's broken. And it's like they start finding them. They just kind of start popping up and, one's in someone's attic and one's at this Monarch's Museum, and it's just like they start finding them all.
Hey, I found a buffalo. I got a buffalo nickel in my change today.
Yeah, well, don't fuck with it because you might release the dark one.
Dude, the book is so, I feel like I've been listening to the fuck out of the book. I have it on 1.2% so I could do it even faster. And I still have more than 15 hours left.
Eye of the World's one of the hardest ones to get through, even though it's really good. And like I said, you're going to start picking up steam. And you're going to get to the point where you're going to start staying up late.
Yeah.
You're going to find reasons to finish it.
Taking the dogs for a long walk and shit.
Because you're like, I got to get 20 more minutes. Or hey, Kelly, sorry. I just finished watching your show. I got to finish this chapter or whatever. Because you start getting into stuff and you're just like, fuck. But, it's like you said, he's kind of got those cooldown chapters. So there's places you can stop.
I know. It's like, can I just skip this and just ask Fatty? And he's like, oh, yeah, they have lunch and they conspire.
Well, I think once you get a little further when you get to the ones that are at grind, I'm going to be like, look, you need to hit these 17 chapters out of this 38 chapter book because they're real important and all.
Well, and I think every soundbite has been from book 3. So, you've got me jacked to all right, I gotta get through this, get through 2 and then 3. Holy crap.
I'm gonna see if I can find, I don't know, it's because it's broken apart and it's really long. I'm gonna see if I can find a 10 minute thing at the end of the Eye of the World when Rand's doing his thing for you to listen to so you can just be like,
that was
awesome. Oh, what the fuck? Not till you're done.
Well, no, I was thinking we should, because we could do the Dragon Reborn show, but that's a different scene. But do they still show the same powers getting down? Do they show any of the battle in that scene, or is it in the Billy Zane episode?
No, that's like literally all the Winter Dragon thing is just the prologue.
Winter Dragon,
that's it.
Thank you.
And then when they, like I said, I think it's the Dusty Wheel, or maybe it's the Wad Up thing, that somebody does a recut of it, and it's, first of all, it's way less cheesy.
Yeah.
Second of all, it's like, it makes way more sense, too, even, because I even watched Winter Dragon, I knew what the fuck was going on.
Yeah.
I was just like.
Well, I was hoping maybe they put it in maybe they rewound just a little bit before the prologue to show some fighting, which would have been similar to what Rand does at the end of Dragon Reborn, but. No.
And what he does, it's like, and what he does at the end of fucking Eye of the World is just, it's incredible. Like, it's because he doesn't know how to, he does more amazing things later when he knows how to use the power. But when it's just like, he's just, completely by instinct. It's like the way it's written, it's like you kind of are unsure of what's happening. You're like, did he just step outside of time? Did he turn himself into a giant and like jump over? You know, and I think it's because it's from Rand's point of view.
Oh,
that's how Rand feels. He's like, I'm not sure what's happening, but this has to stop. And he like starts pounding on the ground and like he starts making these just like earthquakes and shit. And it's all insane. So,
dude, Robert Jordan is such a fucking whack job. I listened.
He's so weird, dude. Did you listen to the thing at the end of the book?
Not yet. But I listened to 3 fucking pages about someone feeding horses. And then I was driving around and we were getting to the river crossing. And I was thinking to myself, like, I was taking the dogs to the dog park. And in my head, I'm like, okay, I'm going to park and then listen to this scene before I take the dogs to the park. I zoned out for 10 seconds and then they were like, and then they were on the other side of the river. I'm like, really? You fucking, you summed that river crossing up in a half a paragraph? And I had to listen to you feed the horses for 3, like, that dude definitely fucking had horses. Like, Robert Jordan definitely had horses because he really gets in to talking about horses. Fucking
dude. Oh. Just not even that, like, I swear, like, he starts, like, especially, like I said, when there's a few books that become a slog, and then, you know, no, anybody who's a real fan is not gonna get upset at me because they know what I'm talking about. And while there are some amazing shits in those books, there is a lot of it that it's like, if I have to hear about the fucking scroll work on this fucking dress or on a tapestry one more time, I'm gonna set this book on fire. And then you're like, then something amazing happened. You'd be like, you son of a bitch, you got me again. I'm in.
Yeah, this kind of worked out perfectly because I was like, yeah, I want to do character dives eventually, but I don't know. But they're just such a great launching point to fucking whatever. Like, I was thinking like, well, I don't know if I could talk about fucking just Matt for 40 minutes, but it immediately spreads out to other characters and other theories and
right,
just
yeah,
all kinds of shit and Robert Jordan in general.
Well, I'm trying to pick out stuff that it's like, the stuff that really resonated with me, I actually was texting with Jeremy about it. I was like, whether, you know, you were leaving home for the first time, because, like, you know, I went through all these things, you know, moving away from home a long way, you know, heartbreak, having friends die. You think about certain things and you think about, and maybe I don't remember exactly why a certain passage or certain thing stuck with me, but when I rehear it, I might, or at least have a reason why it made me like that character so much, or why I relate to that character.
Well, and you were just the perfect fucking age, because, like, you were 15, 16 when they came out. So you kind of, like, they were a little bit older than you, so you kind of looked up to them, and then you fucking lived through those ages with them. And then by the time you finished, you were a little bit older, and just like, it's like being fucking 8 when Harry Potter came out.
Like, well, and it's a thing too, and it's like, you know, it's like kind of being grown up enough to realize it's like, you know, you know this, these fucking, rub some dirt on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You'll be fine. Like, that was our parents' generation, and if you had an issue, if your feelings were fucking hurt, it didn't really matter.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I learned plenty of things from the elders in my life. You know, being a great human and being a super empathetic human and an open-minded human really was not one of them. Sorry, mom and dad. You know, that was something that I really learned through being a dad and my wife, and really, these books, as I grew up, shaped, you know, it's like, you know, they gave me examples of kind of what I wanted to be as a man or a husband and a dad. And it's like, who wouldn't want to be like, you know, there's like the things that Perrin does for his, you know, eventual like wife in the series and to save his friends, and Rand, the sacrifices that he makes. It's like, that's the guy, that's who I feel like I grew up to be. And I feel like big part of it is my experience, but I also feel like I probably wouldn't have been open to those experiences had I not read something like that and kind of been like, it's cool to be that way. It's cool to really love your friends enough to die for them. It's, you know, it's cool enough to even love that girl enough to want her for your own, but know that that's your girl's girl and you love them like brother and sister because you figure that out. Like, it just, it teaches you, even just like the, where Lan walks in just fucking naked as all get out and hops in the bath, Moraine. There's no thing sexual. There's, you know, and it's just, it teaches you a lot about relationships that even our world right now, I think, don't have a lot of great barometers about because people get things misconstrued. And so it shows you a better way to be in a lot of ways, I think, whether it was intentional or not.
And during this time, people, during a big chunk of this time, Fatty lived at what we can only refer to as 9216. And the people, I mean, Fatty lived through quite a few people there, but for the most part, like, there it is. He's showing off his tattoo. We'll have to put these on the, I'll have to remember to post these.
Yeah.
When it comes out. But like, yeah. And we were dudes, like, from the outside, you're just like, oh, those are some weird, like, hardcore punk dudes I don't want to fuck with. But then, like, when you hung out with us, like, we're like hugging each other and crying and sometimes, yeah, sometimes punching each other. I mean, it happens. We're dudes, but like,
I never punched you. You were there when I punched somebody else,
but you know,
that's what you get, dude.
You know what happened after we punched? We took him to the hospital and we got him stitches and it was no problem. I think all of us went to the hospital. Actually, you didn't. I broke the summer of hospitals. Like, I broke my arm and went to the hospital. A week later, Johnny broke his arm and went to the hospital. I feel like it was within 3 months that you punched Jason and we went to the hospital.
Punched, took him to the hospital. Like, a month later, he moved out. Month after that, you two dickheads broke your arms.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm done fucking skating. We're done. Do you know, you have those people, like, I've been punched in the mouth before. I'm pretty sure you have too. And there are some people that talk to people like they have never been punched in the mouth and there is no fear of getting punched in the mouth. I bet he doesn't talk to people that way anymore.
Oh, thank the light, everybody.
Hey, Warriors of the Light. Sometimes you got to get a little dirty.
That's right. So you get a little bit about Rand, a little bit about Perrin, a little about Dez, a little bit about Justin. You learn a little bit of everything.
Like Matt said, hey, I don't know if I want to mess with this guy. I fuck with this guy.
I fuck with this guy. Who wants to fuck with this guy? Oh, wait a minute. I want to fuck with this guy. That's who. If you'd like to talk some more Wheel of Time, check us out as the Wolf Brothers at Parched Ailman on Twitter. That is at Parched Ailman on Twitter. You can send us an email with questions, comments, ideas, thoughts. If you're playing the game, we want to hear from you. We want to get you on the show. Hit us up at thankthelight@gmail.com. That is thankthelight@gmail.com. If you're in a podcast, and I know that you are, go to whatsoundsawesome.com. That is where my family of podcasts hang out. It's not all TV shows. We got fitness. We got comedy. We got wizard ladies. We got awesome stories. We got time travel, baby.
And we got two idiots talking about crying fantasy books. No dragons. Just the dragon.
Dude, I'm so into fantasy. Like, right now, I mean, this all came around at a perfect time. Like, I was looking for a good game. I think I'm going to hop in since there isn't a current Wheel of Time game. I think that's going to change in the next couple years. But I almost bought Elder Ring just because I, like, want something new to sink my teeth into.
I know. I was looking at that the other day as far as, like, RPGs. I was like, I've been playing Madden and Back for Blood was just not that good. And I'm just like, kind of want something to play. I played through Little Nightmares. I'm just like, I need something to play that's fun. I wish I could find a game that Lisa would get interested in. She gets interested in games sometimes, but it'd be cool if I could get her to be interested in an RPG or something fun. But they haven't come out with that much stuff for PS5 yet. That's, like, standalone really good. So
I bought an old, I keep meaning to quote unquote play it around Kelly. I bought an FMV recently, which is basically, it's a full motion video. So basically it's just a movie and it pauses every once in a while for you to make choices. And it's an old unreleased one. It's like a late 90s action FMV that someone, like, picked up and dusted off and finally finished. And I keep meaning to play that. But that is a different podcast. Our FMV podcast is starting soon. May you always find water and shade.
And peace favor your sword. My water's yours. Whatever.
Whatever.
Just, we're all friends.
It's all
love. I'll talk to you soon, nerdo.
Love you. Love Lisa.
Love you, man. Hell yeah. I'll tell you, I said that. Tell Kelly what's up.
I love Lisa walking through the living room during episode 18. What are you doing?
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
Be steadfast. Be steadfast. Be steadfast. Be steadfast. Be steadfast. Be steadfast.